It's 19:30 UTC on Saturday, November 25th, and this is Zimbabwe Today.
When you're in office, the trappings that come with it, the benefits that come with it, and everything like that, to then see yourself one day just as ordinary citizen once again, for some it's probably just too much of a culture shock. And therefore, they just want to hang on and go on forever. Even though, like in the case of Mugabe, he was prepared just to see his country go into ruin, and he was just blind to that fact.
That was the president of Botswana, Ian Khama. He was commenting on why some African leaders, including former Zimbabwean president Robert Mugabe, are tempted to stay in power for life.
Good evening. I'm Kutanai Mutetwa.
And I'm Chidonjere on VOA Zimbabwe Today.
It's been a very busy and historic week in Zimbabwe. The military ended nearly 40 years of rule by independence leader Robert Mugabe. They brought to power Mugabe's former vice president, Emmerson Mnangagwa. In the meantime, the military has arrested many members of the ruling ZANU-PF party, who were a supporter of Mugabe's wife, Grace. She had her own group of supporters within the party called the G40, who wished to see her take over from her husband. Some of them are still under arrest, while others have court dates. Today, I spoke with our colleague Gibbs Dube of our Studio 7 to bring us up to date on what's happening.
Yeah, obviously it's day one of Mr. Mnangagwa's rule in Zimbabwe, and indications are that the situation is very calm, and people are doing their businesses as usual. There are people all over Harare, and apparently it seems as if members of the National Army have been taken off the streets. But the police have not yet started doing their business. You know that the police were always all over Harare and other metropolitan regions. So now indications are that quite a lot is being done by the new president. He's preparing maybe to actually implement some of the things that he was talking about yesterday. And this includes the revival of the economy through rebuilding Zimbabwe. So I guess maybe he's actually engaging a lot of people in Zimbabwe right now, but mainly from his party, because I was talking to members of the Movement for Democratic Change. They're saying that they've not heard anything from the new president, because they thought maybe somehow there could have been some kind of outreach, because the MDCT, for example, has actually rejected the issue of having a coalition government, saying, you know, that they don't want to get into power through the backdoor.
So if the idea of a coalition government isn't on the table, what are the other options?
I think basically ZANU-PF wants to go it alone. And when they're going it alone, they're trying to go for the elections, you know, with the indications that they can actually transform Zimbabwe on their own without the assistance of any outsiders. So it's a question of electioneering, you know, they're gearing for these crucial elections.
But in terms of the elections, would they be able to have free elections if there is just one party?
Not necessarily, because, you know, in Zimbabwe, there is the main opposition party, which is the MDC, led by Moken Tsvangirai, which will be contesting these elections. And before Mr. Mugabe stepped out of the limelight, indications were that he was going to contest the presidential election at the age of 94. Maybe through this sanitization of ZANU-PF that has been done by the military, they may get one or two votes here and there, but the opposition is still strong, although not as strong as it used to be. But people are saying that the new president is not electable. They are actually, you know, piling a lot of issues on him. One of them primarily is the 5th Brigade atrocities committed between 1982 and 1987 in Zimbabwe. So they're saying, okay, fine, he may contest the presidential poll, but he may not win after all.
Is there going to be any kind of reconciliation, do you think, in terms of those atrocities?
It's not yet clear what the new president is going to do, but all what he said yesterday was, let bygones be bygones. But people are questioning that. They're saying, no, that cannot happen. Maybe if we can turn to the new cabinet that is actually being crafted by the new president, indications of that, you know, they're taking it in strides. He's going to make sure that he appoints maybe most people from the ruling ZANU-PF party. So I don't see any other person come from outside, except maybe miracles can happen. You never know.
In terms of the cabinet, have you heard anything in terms of potential ministers that they're looking to appoint?
No, not necessarily, not necessarily. I think what these guys always do is to, you know, play their cards next to their chest. You know, they don't release just information. But as far as I see it, maybe he's going to retain people like Obed Mpofu. You know, Obed Mpofu has been primarily running the show, you know, when it comes to Mr. Mnangagwa. And then we have people like Kembo Mahadi from Matabeleland region. That man has been in government since 1980, I guess. So now he's been going along with the president and now with Mr. Mnangagwa. And then when it comes to ZANU-PF, maybe he's going to even appoint a person like former finance minister Patrick Chinamasa. Chinamasa is now the cybersecurity minister. So I guess Mr. Chinamasa appears to be one of the staunch supporters of Mr. Mnangagwa, and he was pushed out of the finance ministry by Mr. Chombo. So maybe he's going to bounce back and all those kind of things.
And then moving on to some of the charges that have been brought against some former ZANU-PF members, particularly Ignatius Chombo. Could you tell me a little bit about what those charges are and what the events leading up to him being charged were?
Well, all what we know is that Mr. Ignatius Chombo has actually appeared in court and is facing charges of, you know, corruption and fraud. Fraud involving billions of Zimbabwe dollars. So we don't know exactly what they mean about billions of dollars. Maybe they're referring to the old currency or maybe the mixture of currency that they have at the moment. But indications are that he was involved in certain corrupt activities when he was local government minister. And then there's another issue concerning the cropping to do with the seeds that were given to ministers and fertilizer and all those kind of things and tractors that were given by the government. Most probably they want to pin him on that to say he was corruptly receiving the maize seed and then redistributing it at a certain price to people after getting it for free. So we are yet to see exactly how those charges are going to, you know, fare in court. But the indications are that normally Zimbabwe is fond of arresting people. They go to court and they just, they're gotten out of court because they don't have strong charges against them. So you have seen the opposition parties, you know.
Yes.
They arrest their members, take them to court, but the charges are dropped by prosecutors after failing to prove certain cases against them. So then comes in people like Kutsai Chipanga. Kutsai Chipanga has been the Youth League Secretary of ZANU-PF. So he allegedly insulted General Constantino Chiwenga. You still remember when he actually issued a statement. And that statement he quoted from one innocent Hamandishe, who is also facing charges of insulting the general. So these two are accused of trying to undermine the authority of the military and the authority basically of the general. So those charges, maybe they may stick, but we don't know how they can stick in a court of law when you've actually said what you said. We have got freedom to say whatever we want, you know, in Zimbabwe. It's only that your freedom is not guaranteed after saying it. And then we've got another issue concerning Professor Jonathan Moyo of G40 and Xavier Kasuere, who are actually the big heads behind the Generation 40 kind of group within ZANU-PF. Indications are that the army is looking for them. They want to detain them for allegedly running a lot of issues around the president. And they are claiming that they actually usurped the powers of the president and were exercising certain functions that the president is supposed to do. And so they also used the wife of the president to do some of those things. Maybe that's why this can lead us to another question.
That's true. Is that why the High Court ruled recently that the army's actions were legal according to the Constitution, considering what Jonathan Moyo and Xavier Kasukwere are charged with?
Yeah, so in essence, you know, what they're saying is that the High Court actually ruled today that, you know, what the military did in terms of intervening in the ZANU-PF rankings, it actually contained a situation that was likely to burst, you know, and so they were protecting Zimbabwean interests. So in a way, the takeover of power around Mugabe, they are saying, no, these guys were actually doing the wrong things. And they were using the first lady to run the executive. So whenever you run the executive, then you are running foul into many things. So as Section 212 of the Constitution defines what the defense forces can do, I'll just read what it says. So it says, the function of the defense forces is to protect Zimbabwe, its people, its national security and interests and its territorial integrity, and to uphold this constitution. They used specifically that. You still remember when they talked to the public, the army, they said they were using that kind of section to actually protect the interests and integrity of Zimbabwe. So the court has actually said, yes, they did the right thing. So here we are today, and we see that the High Court has actually said, okayed the military takeover. So in a way, they've said the coup, as we call it, was okay.
The coup, or the coup that isn't quite a coup.
That's right. So they call it the military takeover, yes.
Thanks, Gibbs. That was Gibbs Dube of our VOA program for Zimbabwe, Studio 7.
President Tsiretsa Iyenkama is the first African head of state to call on Robert Mugabe to step down during the Zimbabwean crisis. Before Mugabe's resignation, the Botswana president said Zimbabweans have been subject to untold suffering for a long time due to what he says is poor governance. In an open letter to Mugabe posted on the Botswana government Facebook page over a week ago, President Iyenkama said Mugabe's resignation will usher in a new political era of much-needed socio-economic recovery in Zimbabwe. Reporter Peter Clutie reached Botswana's President Iyenkama in the capital, Gaborone, regarding the latest development in neighboring Zimbabwe.
My reaction to that, that is long overdue. Because for too long has he presided over poor governance in that country, which has led it to the state that it finds itself in today, and with millions of his people having to seek opportunities in other countries, and also the deficit, the huge deficit in democracy that country has. So it's just been, unfortunately, from the days of independence 37 years ago, all those years have been lost when Zimbabwe could by now have been far ahead and economically, politically, and in many senses, even the lives of Zimbabweans could have been much higher, enjoying a much higher standard of living than the situation today.
Well, Mr. President, you have been at the forefront calling for democracy in Africa. You've called on President Robert Mugabe when he was leading that it was about time he left. When you meet your colleague heads of state who wants to stay there in perpetuity, what do you tell them, Mr. President?
I'm not going to mention names, but you'd be surprised to know that on occasion when I've met some of them, and I'm not saying this applies to all, but when I've met some of them on a one-on-one, they actually agree with what I'm saying, but unfortunately don't go on to express those same views in public.
So, Mr. President, why do you think African leaders try to stay in power for a long time, despite the fact that citizens in the country get tired of them, they voice it out, yet they come up with arguments to say the people want them to stay. They change constitution. Why aren't they following examples of Botswana, Ghana, and Benin, and a few other countries who are charting the course of democracy on the continent?
Well, first of all, I would say it's not only African leaders. There are, I think, many other examples in other parts of the world where leaders try to stay in power beyond the time that they should. But then in many cases, you'd find that it's that they have used their positions as leaders for self-benefit, for self-interest. And then they lose sight of why they were put in those positions. And I think it's the issue of power. And I said to someone else recently that, you know, it was Tony Blair, I think, who said that the best way to deal with power is to relinquish it. So when you're in office, the trappings that come with it, the benefits that come with it, and everything like that, to then see yourself one day just as ordinary citizen once again, for some it's probably just too much of a culture shock, and therefore they just want to hang on and go on forever. Even though, like in the case of Mugabe, he was prepared just to see his country, you know, go into ruins. And he didn't. He was just blind to that fact, and just to stay on in power. And even if you heard that statement he gave the other day that evening, where he was going to now say, "No, we'll make a new start and fix things," and he'll preside over his Congress in December, you just knew that no, this old man has lost it.
What are your hopes for Zimbabwe? Last time when you met on Zimbabwe, what came out of your meeting, Mr. President?
Well, I think my hope for Zimbabwe is to be able to really reach its full potential for the benefit of its citizens. Because like I said earlier on, you know, they've been long-suffering. And I know, being a neighbor, that that country has immense potential. And I'm pretty sure that if Mnangagwa really sets his sights on encouraging investment through providing a window of opportunity, embracing democracy, you're going to find domestic and foreign investors coming back into that country in a big way. And I think very soon they'll be back on their feet again. So they just need to be able to, get over this political intolerance that they've had for so many years, where the opposition are seen as enemies and people who shouldn't, have their time. If I think they had embraced democracy and done for the people what we have tried to do here, and I hope we have been successful in doing that, then they would have been rewarded by winning elections without having to resort to rigging them. So that's my answer to that question.
What is your message to the people of Zimbabwe as they head into uncharted waters at the moment?
I think they have tasted, even if it's just been for a week, they've tasted what democracy can bring them. They've been able to go onto the streets without being beaten up. They've been able to voice their opinions about President Mugabe when he was still in office without any crackdown. The papers have been able to write whatever they've wanted. So they've experienced it, and I would say to them, they should hang on for their lives to this, what they have already tasted, and they should build on it and not allow politicians to, ruin the lives as what was happening in the past. And I'm sure many of them who have been outside the country also want to come back into their country and make a living there. I don't think it was by choice necessarily that they left their country. So I'm sure they'd all want to come back. And now when you saw the celebration on the streets in various centers in Zimbabwe, that should have been an indication to anybody how much they want change. And it would be a very brave person who tries to take them back to where they were during Mugabe's era.
Seretse Khama Iyenkhama is the president of Republic of Botswana. He spoke with reporter Peter Kluti from Gaborone.
Zimbabwe's political landscape has changed in the past week. In what many are calling a soft coup, the country now has a new president, Emmerson Mnangagwa, marking the end of Robert Mugabe's 37-year rule. Elton Mangoma is the presidential candidate for the Coalition of Democrats, also known as CODE. The coalition is made up of six political parties. Mangoma is one of the longest-serving opposition political players in Zimbabwe. He spoke with reporter Kudzai Zinawashe about the political situation and elections that are set to take place in a few months.
For us, the first thing is that Mugabe is gone. So Mugabe has been a major liability in himself, but also the ZANU-PF system is still there. So we have got where we can say the tyrant has gone, but tyranny still remains. So we now are focusing on fighting the tyranny that is remaining.
Do you know President Mnangagwa personally? Do you think he will be the man to usher in the much-needed reforms that people have been hoping for?
I've actually known President Mnangagwa for a long time. When I was with the Institute of Chartered Accountants, we worked very closely with him from that time. But we certainly had different political belief systems. That's why we never worked together in the political field. So one would want to see whether he is going to continue to remain part of the tyrannical system or he is going to reform the system. So I would be expectant that given the mood that the people showed on last Saturday, that people want their freedom, and that he either gives them their freedom or the people will turn against him as well.
Some people say Mnangagwa's business background and his connections, his political connections, may just be what we need to shock this economy back to life. What's your take on that?
You know what we believe in CODE is that people must work as a team. So no one individual should be looked at as the messiah. And I would refuse to look at President Mnangagwa as the messiah. I think it will going to be his capacity to create a functional team and to use that team to change the fortunes of Zimbabwe. I think part of the problem we have had is to have this one center of power, creating a demigod of mortals.
Some stakeholders are calling for a transitional government as a way forward, which Mnangagwa would have to consider putting in opposition party members into key positions in government. What's your take on this as a member of the opposition political party?
Well, there is a different thing between a ZANU-PF president inviting opposition to serve in a ZANU-PF-led government and the creation of truly a transitional team or a transitional government. And people sometimes confuse this. I think what I see is that President Mnangagwa is going to have a ZANU-PF-led and dominated team with a sprinkling of chosen opposition.
In Mnangagwa's speech at his inauguration, he spoke of elections. Do you think there is still time to initiate or to push for electoral reforms that you've been calling for?
Yes, we need electoral reforms. Because if we don't have electoral reforms and we have another disputed election, we will go through the same cycle again. So the people of Zimbabwe clearly showed that they do not want a repressive system. They want their freedom. And giving people freedom costs us no money at all. So it's not like we have got to look for $1 billion to be able to invest in giving people freedom.
You are one of the candidates who will be running against Mnangagwa in a few months' time. Do you think his presidency presents him a rare opportunity to outshine his opponents?
Absolutely everyone who is given an opportunity to do something in the public eye, you are being given an opportunity to show that you are better than everyone else. So at this stage, some will be talk and talk and talk, and he will be action. So we will see if his action proves that he can do things, then indeed his ratings go up. But if his action shows that he actually also doesn't know which way to go, then his ratings will go down.
It is evident Mnangagwa has played a crucial role in keeping Mugabe in power, and his role is quite evident. He has often come under spotlight for human rights violations. His history, some say, it is tainted. What do you think of his history?
Well, sometimes history is very difficult to erase. And we have got some people who say a leopard does not change his spots, but we also have a biblical version where Saul became Paul. So really, for us, it's going to be a situation where, is it a leopard that's not changing its spots, or is it Saul that who is now becoming Paul? By the end of this month, a clear tone will be set. Certainly by the end of December, we will know which direction we are.
Court has been campaigning, and part of its proposal has been to amend the constitution, particularly the power of the president. What do you think is currently wrong with the presidential powers, and what would you change?
The first thing that is wrong with power now is it's centralized. It's centralized in one place, in one person. Our own constitution creates a constitutional dictator. So we have proposed that the powers that affect the freedoms of people be removed from the executive president and be placed in a Supreme Council where there are 4, 5, or 6 individuals who will be able to agree to be able to make sure that these things work.
Robert Mugabe's era has come to an end. Is there anything that you cherish from his time in power?
You know, if we were in 1990, I would have cherished quite a bit. I think in the early 80s, there was shared growth in the economy. There was some growth. There was certainly in terms of social development, particularly in access to health and access to education. These rapidly grew at that time. But these were then first eroded toward the end of his era, where now children are dropping out of school and people can't access education. There is no medication. We now have had dysentery and cholera come back and so on. So really, a lot of the things that you would have cherished have virtually been all reversed plus more. So there is a lot more sadness than where you can sit and say, yes, indeed, I think this was good and I think that was bad. What we remember him for now are really the bad things as opposed to the good things that were done, particularly in the 80s.
That was Elton Mangoma, presidential candidate for one of Zimbabwe's main opposition political party coalitions, called the Coalition of Democrats. He spoke with reporter Kudzai Zunaweshe from Zimbabwe's capital, Harare.
One ongoing topic that many are watching is the detention of former finance minister Ignatius Jombo. He was picked up by the military, who pledged to clean up so-called criminal elements that they say had infiltrated the ruling party, the government. Many of them were supporters of the former First Lady, Grace Mugabe. Jombo was charged with 3 counts of corruption and offense he allegedly committed more than a decade ago. A few Zimbabweans took to social media with their comments.
At Ali Naka said, "We cannot look forward to a Zimbabwe where Jombo is a criminal and Mpofu is celebrated as a player in the new dispensation. There is no difference between the two characters."
At Mpofu Mpo says, "We can only hope the judiciary is independent and not captured. Prosecute all criminals accordingly. Just name them all."
Etinashe Musere says, "Bridges of unity have surely been mended in Zimbabwe. Who would have thought that Jombo would have Maduku as his lawyer in the old Zimbabwe?"
Advocate Munyama says, "Small thread on how history repeats itself. Focus on human rights abuse in Zimbabwe."
Etchidizi G says, "Jombo, Mugabe, Mpofu, Chipanga. Never in a million years will I waste my empathy and sympathy on these people. They treated the people of Zimbabwe as rats, and surely if justice would be served, prison was supposed to be their permanent abode by now."
At Shingira 11 says, "Jombo and Chipanga being brought to justice makes investors willing to deal with Zimbabwe, trust the system. Good signs by ZANU and a good start for President Mnangagwa."
That's a sampling of the latest tweets from Zimbabweans on this week's historic change in the country. Please enjoy the music by Davido.
If I tell you, say I love you, oh. My money, my body, now your own, oh baby. 30 billion for the account, yo. Yeah. Versace and Gucci for your body, yo, baby. Nadu, gara for me. Nadu, tarara, oh. Nadu, chakara, oh. Nadu, gara gara for me, oh. Yeah, yeah, busy. My number one in tutu, sipping broku tutu, for your love in tutu, I go tutu, biko obyanu ju, say you do me juju, cause I'm feeling the juju, take it to you, I wanna dash it to you, you can have it to you, you know I got it to you, I love 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 you.
That's it for us this evening on VOA's Zimbabwe Today. I'm Kutsunai Mutetwa.
And I'm Chidonjere. We'll be back again tomorrow at 9:30 p.m. Zimbabwe time for the latest news and analysis in English. VOA Shona and Develi broadcast can be heard at 6 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. Zimbabwe time.
Stay with us around the clock on Facebook at Studio 7, VOA Ndebele and VOA Shona, as well as on our VOA website, www.studio7news.com.